number 660, There Is Sunshine in My Soul. Would you lead us, please?
Find your seat, Ashley. If you have served in the military, whatever branch it may be, the United States Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard, and am I forgetting one? That's it, right? If you have served in the Armed Forces of the United States of America, please remain standing. And those of you that have not served, why don't you go around and shake the hands of those that are standing and say, thank you for your service. Remember God's goodness in your life. Remember God's salvation that He brought upon through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Remember how He has brought your family to this land of a greener pasture. Remember how He had provided a job for you. Remember how He had provided a family for you. Remember how He had blessed you with children. Remember how He had blessed you with Christian parents. Remember how He had blessed you with clothing today. He had blessed you with a house today. He had blessed you with a job today. Will you remember Him today? Every head bow, every eye closed. Would you stand to your feet? The true characteristic of a thankful heart. A thankful heart praises God. A thankful heart does not forget God's goodness. Remember your Creator. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The altar is open. Would you come to the old-fashioned altar and just thank Him today? Remember God's goodness. Remember the cross. Remember Calvary, would you? Thank Him for Calvary. Thank Him for the cross. Thank Him for His shed blood. Remember His shed blood. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some of you came to this country with almost nothing. But have you looked at your life today? How blessed you are? Remember who gave you those things. Some of you had a broken life, broken family in the past. But you look at your life today, God has blessed you and God is continuing to bless you. Would you remember Him today? Spirit, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If He's speaking to you, He's knocking at the door of your heart, maybe you're not saved. And He's knocking at the door of your heart, He's saying, will you remember Me? I created you. I provided for you. Will you remember Me? Would you come this morning? People say. Amen. Amen. Brother Gary, would you come up here and close us in prayer, please, Brother Gary?
Let's pray. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for this day. We thank Thee for the opportunity we have to listen to God's word from a man who is directed by God's hand. Pray that You be with our pastor, Lord. Watch over him and take care of him. Put a gird around him, Lord, and hold him up straight. Lord, be with us as we separate from this time. Be with the servicemen who have served and the ones who are serving. Guide and direct our life in every step that we take. In Jesus' name, amen.
I see a couple of new faces that haven't been here before or that are visiting for the first time. I met a family, Matt, Tiffany, Kylie, and Chris, and I didn't get the name of your mom and dad. Would you stand and do you want to introduce your family, Matt?
This is my parents, Joe and Jerry from Hawaii, Tiffany, Kelly,
You're visiting from Hawaii, right? From Hawaii. Okay. Welcome to Chula Vista Baptist Church. I think we also have sister in the back that came in. She's been in the church before, sister. You want to introduce yourself to the church? Amen. Is that everybody? I think that's everyone. That's from my point of view. Don't forget on June 2nd, that is this coming Friday at 6 p.m. There will be a summer music recital here at church. It's a Friday, so be here for that if you can. Also, on June 4th, Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church will be celebrating its 49th year anniversary. There will be no Sunday school. The service will be starting at 10:30 instead of 11. So if you walk in the normal time, which is 11 o'clock, you would be late. If you came in for Sunday school at 10 o'clock, you would be too early. There won't be anyone here. Okay, so don't forget, June 4th, there are flyers outside. As you walk in, just grab a flyer, grab a few, invite family members to come, invite them to our anniversary Sunday. What else do we have? I'm forgetting something else. Oh, there will be food, fun, and fellowship after. So don't plan on going out to a restaurant. We're going to be providing food for you. There's also a potluck sign-up sheet outside. And if you would like to participate in the potluck, you want to bring something, you want to bring a plate or a dish, you're more than welcome to. There's a sign-up sheet outside. So I think we have next is our scripture reading. Man? Scripture reading?
I'm going to read Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the mere clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lie. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works, which you have done, and you and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come, and the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to you your will, O my God, and your law is written in my heart. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercy from me. O Lord, let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame, who says to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord is magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Praise be the name of the Lord, the reading of his word.
So out front there were two bulletins this morning. There was one for the with the soldiers on the front. And if you picked that one, that was the right one. I picked the one with the graduation, and that was the right one too. So I made half and half, because we're trying to celebrate graduations and Memorial Day at the same time. So let's go ahead. Let's see. Do we have, Brother Johnny, you have a special for us?
Good morning, everyone. You know, I want to thank the personnel that's in our military that has fought, and those who are still in there protecting our country. But if you're a Christian this morning, you're also in the service. Amen. You're in God's army. Amen? Amen. And let me tell you something. It's twofold. It's physical, but mostly spiritual. And our missionaries are the ones in the greatest danger because they are on the front line in the foreign countries. Let's pray for them. Let's think about them, because you're not alone, for the Lord of hosts is on your side. Please.
By their enemy, by some who view the war fall defeated seems to be. But with a prayer on his lips, he lifts a mighty sword, and our enemy is conquered by the soldier of the Lord. One Lord, soldier true and faithful, and marching to the battle zone. He's protected by the grace of God, not in his strength alone. But though he lay in concrete and by dire possibility, one Lord knows my soul in our glorious victory. Now the roots have been neglected at times. He's been forsaken and left to die. Even comrades who once was so close had believed him to lie. But unseen by friends and enemies, overhead an angel lives. He said, by the captain of the host, the soldier the Lord is. The one Lord, soldier true and faithful, come out into the battle zone. He's protected by the grace of God, not in his strength alone. Like dire possibility, but no, no, great comes on, not in it.
Let's turn to 403. That'll be our offertory hymn. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Number 3.
Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Brother Raul.
from sea to shining sea.
Now, please stand with me, open to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. I'm going to read a couple of verses for us today in thinking about what kind of message I would prepare for Memorial Day without breaking my rule of exposition. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. Once you find Luke chapter 1, just put a little bookmark on that text, on that chapter. And we're actually going to be at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So first text is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. And our main text is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Actually, I'll be starting in verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. After I read the verses, I'm going to ask Brother Marco to ask God to bless this message this morning. Reading from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says, "They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry seized, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Jump over to Luke chapter 1. Look at the prayer of Mary. Starting with verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He had showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. He had hope in helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And then go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The title of this message is Hannah's Prophecies. Hannah's Prophecies. Let me ask Brother Marco if you could lift up your voice and pray for this message this morning.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here today and allowing us to congregate and worship you, Lord. I want to thank those in the armed services for protecting this country and the right to do so. And may we take this message we learn and apply it to our daily lives throughout the week. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here and pray this in Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Continuing our exposition of the book of 1 Samuel, we are now in verse 5, but let me just quickly review what we have been talking about the past few Sundays. In chapter 1, we've looked at Hannah's prayer of supplication. As we approach chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, we found that Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving. And in Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving, she acknowledged God's salvation in verse 1. She acknowledged God's holiness in verse 2. She acknowledged that God is the all-knowing God in verse 3. And in verse 4, she acknowledged the all-powerful God in verse 4. In verse 5 through 11, there is a transition. Chapter 1 begins with a prayer of supplication, and chapter 2 opens with a prayer of thanksgiving. But when you get to chapter 2, verse 5, all the way to chapter 11, there is a transition from prayer to prophesying. Prayer to prophesying. Now, the reason why I led you to Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56, as you may have noticed, there is a striking similarity between Hannah's prayer and Mary's prayer. How many of you noticed that as we were reading the text? Go back to your text once again. If you notice in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies." And notice Hannah's prayer, she says, "Because I rejoice in thy salvation." Now, Mary's prayer echoes the same thing in verse 45 through 47. Here's what Mary says in Luke chapter 1. In verse 45, she said, "And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And notice, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord," just like Hannah did. And then she said, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior." The same thing that Hannah said in verse 1. In verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah said, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." By comparison, Mary prays in verse 49 of Luke chapter 1. She says, "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." And pay attention to your Bible in Luke chapter 1, verse 49. Notice what Mary says, "And holy is his name." Amen. Now let me give you the rest of our text. There's this striking comparison and similarity between Hannah's prayer and Mary's prayer. In verses 3, 4, and 5 of our text, Hannah says, "Talk no more so exceedingly proud. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." And then in verse 51 of Luke chapter 1, Mary says the exact same thing. Mary says, "He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." In verses 6 through 7 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, notice this. "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up." But if you look at your text in Luke chapter 1, the exact same wording is there. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 52. Notice what Mary says. Mary says this, He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. There's that striking similarity. In verse 8, Hannah says, he raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. Mary says in verse 53 of Luke chapter 1, he had filled the hungry with good things and the rich he had sent empty away. A striking similarity. And rightfully so, someone said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. In verse 11, to close, to sum it up, in verse 11 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, I want you to pay attention to your Bible. Look at this. Look at the striking similarity between Hannah's prayer and Mary's prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. But then if you go to Luke chapter 1, verse 56, I apologize if I'm making you do some work today, flipping from verse Old Testament to the New Testament. But I want you to notice Luke chapter 1, verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. You see the striking similarity there? They both began with a prayer of supplication and thanksgiving. Hannah was praying for a child, and so was Mary. Hannah began to pray a prayer of thanksgiving in verses 1 through 4, and so did Mary. Hannah went from prayer to prophesying in verses 5 through 11, and so did Mary. Isn't that amazing? A testimony of the inspiration of the Holy Scripture. Now let me give you a couple of doctrinal lessons from this text. Some of you may not notice this superficially, but let me help you out. From verses 5 through 11 is a wealth of prophecy. It is a wealth of prophecy. Let me take you from verse to verse, and I want you to pay a really close attention to your Bible today. Verse 5, notice the word of God says in 1 Samuel chapter 2. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry seized. But the phrase I want you to look at is the last phrase. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 5 says, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Now this is a comparison between Hannah and Penina. Hannah being the barren wife and Penina being the prosperous wife, if you remember. Now that is important to understand because in the New Testament, you know what you will... Well, actually, let me go back to Genesis. You know what you will find? There were two women that were also being compared by the name of Sarah and Hagar. Sarah was barren and Hagar was the fruitful one. If you go to Galatians chapter 4 with me, just real quick. Go to Galatians chapter 4, looking at verse 21. I'll show you the prophecy from verse 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 21, tell me, the Apostle Paul speaking, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Notice he says, the Apostle Paul says in verse 24, which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar, notice this, is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Here's the contrast. Here's the comparison here. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, you're looking at Hannah, the barren wife, and Penina, the childbearing woman. In the book of Genesis, you have the woman Sarah, who was barren, and then you have Hagar, the fruit-bearing woman. But in the New Testament, according to Galatians, by the letter of the Apostle Paul, you know the kind of comparison he's making. He's saying that here is Arabia, and here is Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the barren land, and Arabia was the fruitful land. Go back to Galatians chapter 4 again. Let me continue this. Look at verse 26. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, look at this, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Isn't that 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 5? Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Slide on to verse 31. Notice this. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. The contrast is this. In the person of Hannah, the barren Hannah and the childbearing Peninnah is prophesied the law of grace. It is the law of grace. Just as you find Jerusalem to be the source of grace, and so was Arabia the source of the law. By the way, in modern politics, if you pay attention to your Bible, go to look at verse 29 of Galatians. Herein lies the secret and the answer why there will always be conflict in the Middle East. Look at verse 29. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, and what does the Bible say? Even so it is now. The Arabian children will always persecute the children of Jerusalem. It will always be, it has always been. That has always been the case. One is the picture of the law, the other is the picture of grace. But you see, the Bible is more inspired than you think it is. For in the life of Hannah, in verse 5, she says, so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. First thing that she prophesied is she prophesied the law of grace. In verse 6, look at verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. You know what you find there? That is a prophecy of the resurrection. There's that prophecy of the resurrection in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. The Bible says, see now that I, even I am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Hannah, how could she know the doctrine of resurrection? How could she possibly know? But in here she prophesies the resurrection. About verse 6. Oh, by the way, before we get to verse 6, did you know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, 22, that the doctrine of resurrection is the power of the believer? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, the Bible says, now if Christ be preached that he arose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Amen? How could Hannah possibly know that there is this event called the resurrection? How about in verse 7? Look at verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. Wow, you know what that is? First of all, that is an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. That is an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 45. verses 6 through 7. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 6 through 7. Here's what the Bible says. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all of these things. It is an acknowledgement of God's sovereignty. But even more important than that is, it is a prophecy of the kingdom of heaven. Here, Hannah prophesies of the coming of the kingdom of heaven on earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 to 18, the Bible says, "And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand had gotten me this wealth." You know, one thing about America today is this. America is a prosperous nation. And you as an American, you are more prosperous than you think you are. But the problem with America today is when we begin to believe that we are prosperous because of ourselves. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, verse 18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Look at the Bible with me. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Look at what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. "For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day." If you are prosperous today, if you consider yourself blessed today, it is not because of you. If this country is prosperous today, it is not because of us. It is because of the God of this country. Amen. "The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich," Hannah prayed. "He bringeth low and lifted up." That is a prophecy of the kingdom of heaven. And then in verses 8 and 10, she prophesies of the millennial kingdom. Look at verse, go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 52. Look at this. Hannah and Mary prophesies the coming king as he establishes his kingdom on earth. By characteristic, look at this. Luke chapter 1, verse 52. Here's what's going to happen in the millennial kingdom. In the second coming of Jesus Christ, here's what's going to happen. Luke 1, 52 says, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." That's what's going to happen. The nations that are powerful will be put down. The nations that are forgotten will be lifted up. The people that are high and lifted up will be brought down. And the people that have been enslaved for years will be brought back up. That is a prophecy of the millennial kingdom. Then let's go to verse 9. Let me keep on going here for the sake of time. I'm not preaching yet. I'm still on the text. I'm still showing you the structure of the text. Look at verse 9. In verse 8 and 10, there's the prophecy of the millennial kingdom. In verse 9, there is a prophecy of the rapture. Look at verse 9. "He will keep the feet of his saints." Underline that phrase. You know what that is pertaining to? That is pertaining to the rapture. God keeps the feet of his saints. Well, how does he do that? How does God keep the feet of his saints? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, speaking about this event. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at this. Oh, I get excited when I look at this text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13, look at this. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." I tell you, there's a reason why Christianity in America today has no hope. Is we've lost our focus on the second coming of Jesus Christ. But look at verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And notice, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, you better be jumping up and down right now. Look at verse 17. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. You know what that is? That is Hannah's prophecy of God keeping the feet of his saints. Amen. 1 Peter 1:5, Bible says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Let's get to verse 10 now. So in verse 9, Hannah prophesies the rapture. How about verse 10? In verse 10, look at verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 2 with me. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Do you realize that the world is at war today? But notice the promise in my book, in this Bible. The Bible says the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the end of the earth. I was watching the news of what was going on in my native land in the Philippines and southern part the past week. The Islamic Liberation Front of the southern Philippines, the president was forced to declare martial law. Why? Because the Muslims are trying to conquer and trying to turn the country into a bastion of Islam. In England, in you name it, everywhere throughout the whole world, there are terrorist acts. I tell you, the world today is at war. And there is no such thing as peace on earth until Jesus Christ comes. But I'll look at verse 10 in Hannah's prophecy. Hannah prophesies the battle of Armageddon. Look at verse 10. And here's what happens in this battle of Armageddon. Hannah says, I mean, how did she know? How could she possibly know? Verse 10 says, in this battle of Armageddon, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. In this battle of Armageddon, out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. In my Bible, in Psalms chapter 2, verse 9, he says, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In Psalm chapter 18, verses 13 to 14, the Bible says, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, and hailstones and coals of fire will come down during that battle of Armageddon. And then she says in verse 10, the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth. In Psalm 96, verse 13, the Bible says, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. In Psalm 98, verse 9, before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. Hannah prophesies the battle of Armageddon. And then in the last phrase of verse 10, Here's another thing that Hannah prophesies in her prayer. Look at verse 10 again. Here's what she says. And he shall give strength unto, what does that say? His king. And exalt the horn of his anointed. You know what she's prophesying about here? Hannah is prophesying, no, well, first of all, about King David. Later on, you will find King David gets anointed to be king. But I believe here that Hannah is prophesying about a greater king than David. In Acts chapter 4, verse 26, the Bible says this. Acts chapter 4, verse 26. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, capital L, and against his Christ. And then he says, and exalt the horn of his anointed. You know what that means to every Jew? His anointed, the anointed one, is also known as Mashiach, Messiah. Oh, I am grateful. I am excited every time I see a Jewish person get saved. Amen. Do you understand what it takes for someone who is brought up as a Jew, who knew nothing but the Jewish culture, Jewish religion, the Jewish diet, the Jewish traditions, and all of a sudden that person coming to know the Mashiach, the Messiah, as their Lord and Savior? It is amazing to me. But here, Hannah prophesies about King David, and she prophesies about the Messiah. Verse 11. There's a last one right here for our doctrinal lesson. Look at verse 11. And Elkanah went to Ramah, to his house, just like Mary did go to her house. Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And here is the prophecy. That is a prophecy of the death and the destination of every believer. That is a prophecy, let me say it again, a prophecy of the death and the destination of every believer. And you see, the destination of every believer is this. When we die, when we get to heaven, we have an eternal job. Amen. And you know what that eternal job is? It is found in verse 11. The eternal job of every believer that goes back to be home with the Lord is this. That is to minister unto the Lord. John chapter 14 verse 2 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You see how she prophesies the death and destination of every believer? She said, we have a home in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Amen. That's an Old Testament prayer of an Old Testament woman speaking about and prophesying about the future. And here's the practical lesson for today. In Hannah's and Mary's prophesying, we find the true character of a thanksgiving soul. A thanksgiving soul, number one, it magnifies God's character. In verses 1 through 4, she did that. In verses 1 through 4, she magnified the character of God. That God is her salvation. That God is holy. That God is the all-knowing. That God is the all-powerful God. Amen. But the second characteristic of a thanksgiving soul is a soul that remembers God's promises. In Jude 17, the Bible says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 46, verse 9, the Bible says, remember the former things of old. And in Psalm chapter 20, verse 7, the Bible says, remember the name of the Lord our God. You know, this Memorial Day, I'll tell you this. United States of America has to remember her biblical heritage and foundation. If there is one thing that we ought, oh yes, I am for remembering those that have sacrificed, those that are in the military, those that are veterans that are served, and rightfully so, because they deserve that honor and that glory. But there is only, I can only think of one thing that is what remember, that is worth remembering greater than that kind of memory. And that is for America and for every American to remember her biblical heritage and foundation, lest we forget. Lest we forget that the Constitution was built upon a biblical foundation. It is and has always been one nation under God. The form of government was built upon Baptist church polity. Did you know that? The form of government of this country was built upon Baptist church way of government. It is the congregational type of church government which gave birth to a republican type of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's from Baptist practice. The loss of the land was patterned upon the laws of Moses. And I will argue to you today that the Ten Commandments belong in the courthouses. People are trying to take away the Ten Commandments from the courts. But it belongs there, biblically and historically. I'll tell you this, the blessings upon the inhabitants of this land, of this country, are blessings that are a consequence of honoring and obeying the words of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Let me close with this. I've read this from a preacher yesterday. And I think it is the most appropriate text for Memorial Day. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1 to close. I want you to pay attention to every word of the Holy Bible. And what does it say in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1? Remember now thy Creator. You understand what America has forgotten? America has forgotten its Creator. Now I know that some of you have parents, maybe grandparents, who were preachers and missionaries, and they have taught you the Word of God. Some of you can trace your own lineage from preachers and missionaries. How many of you can testify to that? Remember. Remember. Psalm 137, verse 6, look at this. Psalm 137, verse 6, there is a warning. The psalmist says, if I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Remember your Creator. Finally, to close, and by the way, even if you do not remember your Creator, even if you choose not to remember the biblical heritage of this country in this Memorial Day, I want you to know that the world will remember. The world will remember. In Psalm 22, verse 27, the Bible says, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. The psalmist says this, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. I tell you, even if we as Americans choose not to remember our biblical heritage, there will come a time when we will be forced to remember. Philippians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even if you today do not choose to remember the biblical heritage, the Creator of all things, He will make you remember. Do you remember Him today? Amen. Every head bow, every eye close.